This is the story. Here is a program from the exciting series entitled Tales from Near and Far. Today's selection from the series is a dramatization of the book They Put Out to Sea, a story of the great explorers of the past. This is the story.
Roger de Voisin, the author of They Put Out to Sea, was born and reared in Switzerland. He came to America as a grown man and brought his family with him. That his sons might understand their adopted country, he began writing books about America. They Put Out to Sea was the second of these. It is a story of the daring men who sailed uncharted seas. But more than that, it is a story of the ever-changing, ever-expanding map of the world. We look at a map today.
Madagascar, Iraq, Yukon, Kiska, Timbuktu, Chungking.
Names of islands, Okinawa, cities, Okinawa. Countries scattered all over the place. Strange names, names of distant places, yet familiar to us now. But to men living several hundred years ago, these names and places were non-existent. They did not appear on the map. In those ancient days, men imagined all sorts of fantastic things about the great unknown lands beyond the forbidden seas. They believed they were inhabited by men with dog's heads, men with eyes in the middle of their chests,
men without heads.
And if you dared venture forth upon the sea, a huge sea serpent would rise from the waves and swallow your ship in one huge gulp. Yes, the fearful sea was a prison wall of ignorance and superstition. Hundreds of years go by. Men begin to reach out into the great unknown. Bold explorers brave the terrors of the deep, going farther and farther beyond the horizons. Marco Polo, Vasco da Gama, and many others. The map makers get busy, changing, adding new names to their crinkly parchments. And then Columbus discovers America, a new continent. Islands, more islands, still more islands. A mad scramble to claim possession begins. The King of Spain and the King of Portugal stake their claims.
I claim these lands for Spain.
I claim these lands for Portugal.
Nay, they belong to Spain.
They belong to Portugal.
Nay, Spain.
Portugal.
Spain.
Portugal.
Spain.
Portugal.
And so they took their dispute to the Pope in Rome. He heard their claims and made his decision.
Behold, my good children, I tear this map of the world in twain. Thus. Thus I divide the world in two. To you, Manuel of Portugal, I give the eastern half. To you, Don Carlos of Spain, I give the western half. Peace be with you, my children.
And that was that. Well, that suited the King of Portugal just fine. Just fine. It gave him Africa, India, and all points east, including the Spice Islands, from whence come all the precious condiments that made eating a joyful experience. As for the King of Spain, he got the whole continent of America, an entire new world. But was he happy?
Well, I've been robbed. Robbed, I say. America. To the devil with America. It's naught but a big, bothersome clump of nothingness, blocking the way of my ships to the west.
So King Charles was indeed a very unhappy monarch. But King Manuel, seated on his throne in Lisbon, beamed with happiness and content. Now, during this time, there came to Lisbon a Portuguese sea captain who was destined to add a great many new names to the growing map of the world. His name was Ferdinand Magellan.
Sire, I thank you for your graciousness in granting me this audience. I beg leave to present my petition.
State your request, Captain Magellan.
I pray you, sire. Why have I been dismissed by the Captain General of the fleet? Why have I not been given another ship to command?
Because you have a bad foot wound, Captain Magellan.
Which I received in valorous battle with your enemies, sire.
Nonetheless, you're not as able-bodied as you were before. I regret, but I cannot grant your petition.
One word more, if it so pleases your majesty.
Be short, Senor Captain. I have matters of import to attend.
Sire, since you will not permit me to serve my country, may I be granted leave to serve the King of Spain?
What use would he have for a crippled old sea dog like you?
This crippled old sea dog, as you so kindly put it, sire, might show the King of Spain a route through the American continent and the westward way to the Spice Islands.
But you know of such a passage?
Nay, I do not.
I thought not.
But such a passage must exist, and I mean to find it. If not in your service, your majesty.
Yes.
Then in the service of King Charles of Spain.
Do as you wish, Captain Magellan. For aught I care, you may go straight to the land of darkness and serve the devil himself.
Magellan was now left in Lisbon, forgotten, penniless, without a ship to command. One evening, he was approached by a stranger.
Your pardon, Captain Magellan.
You know me, senor.
Indeed, yes. Forgive me if I seem importunate, senor captain, but I've heard of your audience with the king and your intent to find the passage through America.
And I will.
Oh, to be sure, you will. It is so written in the stars.
Who are you, senor?
Rui Falero.
Rui Falero? The astrologer?
And mapmaker, captain.
Ah, yes. I have used many of your maps on my journeys. I hope your astrological predictions are a little more accurate than your maps, Senor Falero.
You have found my maps at fault, Captain?
I meant no offense, Senor Falero. Truth to tell, your maps are far more accurate than most. But how can any map of the world be accurate if we know not the real size of the world?
True. Until someone sails around the world. Map-making will remain largely guesswork.
To sail around the world. By the saints, I'd give my life. But no, it is not for Ferdinand Magellan.
But perhaps it is for Ferdinand Magellan.
You are kind indeed, senor.
Say no more, my good mariner. Come with me.
Come? Where?
To the king's library. There's something hidden there. Something that will interest you very much.
Name of all miracles. What is this, Senor Falero?
As you can see, it is a map of America, and it shows the passage.
But how did it get here? From where did it come?
Some Portuguese mariner must have discovered the passage and marked it for King Manuel.
And King Manuel hid the map here so that it could not come to the notice of Spain. By the saints, Falero, this is all I need to get my ships from King Charles of Spain. Look you here, Senor Falero. You are an astronomer, a good astronomer. I am a mariner, a good mariner. Between us, we can find the passage from this map. If I get the ships...
Yes, Senor Captain?
Will you sail with me?
Senor Captain, I will be very happy indeed.
So Magellan, in the company of Falero, went to Charles of Spain. He gave them the ships, five ships. By September 1519, the ships were ready to sail. With Magellan's flagship, the Trinidad, leading the way, the little fleet sailed out of the Guadalquivir River to the Atlantic Ocean. When the fleet reached the Canary Islands on the first leg of the journey, it was the faithful Enriquez, a native of the Spice Islands, who sought out Magellan.
Master, excuse, please.
What is it, Enriquez?
Trouble, Master. Much trouble.
Hey, what's amiss, Enriquez?
I hear talk. Bad talk. Much trouble talk. I hear Spanish captains say they put master in irons, take ships, win far, far on ocean.
What? Oh, now, what sort of nonsense is this?
I wouldn't dismiss that too lightly if I were you, Captain Magellan.
Surely, Falero, you don't take that seriously, do you?
Your proud Spanish officers do not take to the idea of sailing under the command of a Portuguese, my friend. You can very well expect trouble.
Plenty. It was the faithful Enriquez, a native of the Spice Islands, who sought out Magellan.
Master, excuse, please.
What is it, Enriquez?
Trouble, Master. Much trouble.
Hey, what's amiss, Enriquez?
I hear talk. Bad talk. Much trouble talk. I hear Spanish captain say they put master in irons. Take ships, wind far, far on ocean.
What? Oh, now, what sort of nonsense is this?
I wouldn't dismiss that too lightly if I were you, Captain Magellan.
Surely, Falero, you don't take that seriously, do you?
Your proud Spanish officers do not take to the idea of sailing under the command of a Portuguese, my friend. You can very well expect trouble, plenty of trouble, before this journey is over.
So, the proud dons find a Portuguese objectionable, do they? Well, I will be on guard, fear not. And at the first sign of treachery, my friend, they will know who is master of this expedition. Captain Cartagena, what mean you by disobeying my order?
Your order, Captain General? Pray, what order are you referring to?
Did you not receive my command to transfer 7 of our mariners to the Victoria?
Command? In truth, I thought it was a suggestion.
Suggestion? Captain Cartagena, it is not my habit to make suggestions to my subordinates. I give orders.
My dear Captain General, it is not my habit, nor the habit of any true-blooded Spaniard, to take orders from a Portuguese.
From this moment hence, Cartagena, you are no longer in command of the San Antonio. Now get you forward to the forecastle where you belong. And if I have any trouble by your hand, I'll have you lashed to the mast.
It took the fleet 2 months to sail from the Canary Islands to the beautiful Bay of Brazil, where now stands the great city of Rio de Janeiro. The fleet was soon loaded with enough food for many days of sailing. Then to the south they sailed. One stormy day, when waves broke onto the ship's decks, Magellan shouted with joy. For there, just at the place shown on the map, was a wide opening in the shore.
Look there, Falero. That must be it.
Are you certain it isn't another bay, Captain Magellan?
Nay, Falero, it is not a bay. It is the passage marked on the map. Helmsman, ahoy! Hard to starboard! To the west! Off on the bow! Sound for bank!
Ahoy, Captain Magellan!
What's your sounding, mariner?
60 fathoms! White sand and shell, sir.
60 fathoms? It can't be, Falero.
Alas, the water grows shallower the farther we proceed.
But the map. The map cannot lie. It must be the passage. It must.
35 fathoms. Black mud and sand, sir.
35. The map lies, Captain. We've wandered into an inland river, I fear me. It is best you order the vessels about before we go aground.
Nay, it may be not but a sandbar.
25 fathoms! Sweet water, Captain!
Sweet water. Alas, the map does lie. It is the mouth of an immense river. Hard to port, helmsman! Make ready to come about!
What do you mean to do now, Captain Magellan?
We sail to the south. I told King Charles I knew where the passage is, and find it I will. Wherever it is.
It was February by now. Big gray waves knocked the caravels about. The farther south they sailed, the heavier grew the seas. Nothing but gray clouds over a gray, treeless shore. And winds of hurricane force.
Can you make out the shore through your glass?
Aye, there. There seems to be a wide bay. Could I suggest we seek shelter there until the winter departs?
Nay, to the south we sail, Falero.
But we have outsailed our charts. What lies ahead of us we know not. Let us turn back, I beg of you, Captain.
Nay, to the south we sail until we can sail no more.
You have no right to so imperil our lives.
Ah, Falero, this I had not expected from you.
By all that's holy, Captain, if you don't leave off this insane groping in the dark, you'll have a mutiny on your hands before long.
Perhaps you're right, Falero. Very well. I will give orders for the fleet to put into the bay.
But this was not enough for the Spanish officers and their men. To spend the long winter in the lonely bay seemed unbearable to them. One day, two of Magellan's captains met secretly in the cabin of the Victoria.
This is the time to revolt, Captain Mendoza.
Can you rely on your officers and crew, Captain Quesada?
They are all with me. And yours?
I can depend on most of them. As for those that will not, they will be easily taken care of before they know what's afoot.
Good. That will give us two ships, the Victoria and the Conception.
Now, all we need to win is to take the San Antonio, the biggest ship in the fleet.
Need we have to fight for it, Mendoza?
I fear it will be necessary. I have spoken to Cartagena. He tells me that Alvarez, the captain of the San Antonio, will stand by Magellan.
Then tonight, we will go aboard the San Antonio with a party of 30 officers and men and take him prisoner.
Captain Alvarez, open the door.
Yes, who is it?
Captain Mendoza. I bear a message from Magellan.
Come in, Captain Mendoza. Come in.
Seize him, men! What mean you by this, Mendoza?
You are our prisoner, Alvarez. It is best you submit without further...
Mutiny!
Ahoy on deck, mutiny!
Have your breath, Alvarez! Your men are with us, and if you cause us any trouble, I'll send a ball through your head. Put these shackles on his feet, Cartagena. And now we can deal with that Portuguese cripple. Cartagena, take with you a party of men to the Trinidad. Tell that swine Magellan that we command 3 of his ships. And if he doesn't surrender, we'll send his vessel to the bottom of the sea.
Captain Magellan, sir.
What is it, mariner?
There's a boatload of men from the Conception lying alongside the vessel.
Oh, what do they wish?
That I do not know, sir. They say they would like to deal with you.
Deal with me? What do you make of that, Falero?
This smacks of trouble, Captain. I would be cautious if I were you.
Who is in command of the party, mariner?
Senor Cartagena, sir.
Oh, Cartagena.
Aye, Captain. And he's wearing his officer epaulets again, sir.
What? Why, the brazen wretch. Have him fetched aboard and bring him here to me, mariner.
Aye, sir.
But wait. Allow no one but Cartagena to come aboard, for we know not what treachery may be afoot.
Aye, sir. I'll see to that, sir.
Captain Magellan, come here. Take a look through this porthole.
What's amiss, Valero?
If my eyes serve me right, Captain... The Victoria, the Conception, and the San Antonio all have their gun bays open and their cannon trained on this ship.
What? Give me that spyglass, Valero. If what you say is true... Yes, you are right. I can see it plainly.
What does it mean, Captain?
It can only mean one thing, Valero.
Hush. Here comes Cartagena. It would be best to pretend that we are unaware of anything being amiss.
My compliments, Captain Magellan. So good of you to permit me this audience. I am sure
Hold
that...
Hold your tongue, Cartagena.
Come. Would it not be more seemly to treat an officer with more respect, Captain Magellan? Or could it be that you do not note the insignia I wear?
I note well the insignia, Cartagena. And I demand an explanation of your brazen impudence.
The explanation is very simple, my dear Captain. I am in command of the San Antonio once again.
By whose orders, Cartagena?
If you will look across the water to your vessels, you will see whence comes my authority. A triple broadside from the mouth of your vessels, which no longer are under your command.
Mutiny, eh?
Mutiny? Nay, my dear Captain. I would not name it so.
No? Pray, what would you call it? I'm sure your sovereign, King Charles of Spain, will deem it so. And hang you all.
When King Charles learns of the stupendous hoax you have played upon him, like as not he will hang you if you ever dare to show your face in Madrid, my general. The passage to the islands. Bah! We can see very well now that you do not know where it is. In fact, you never did know. And if the truth must be told, it never existed in any place... but your addled brain.
You will hang, Cartagena. Mark my words. You and the rest of those mutinous scoundrels will hang when we get back to Spain.
Hang? Nay. The King of Spain will thank us for saving 5 of his ships and the lives of his seamen from certain destruction. Ah, but come. We waste time in idle words. I bear a proposal from Mendoza and Casar that you surrender your vessel. For we mean to put back to Spain immediately. Well, Captain Magellan, what word shall I take back to them?
Tell Mendoza and Quesado that I will meet them aboard the Victoria at nightfall to place myself and my command in their hands, Cartagena.
Ah, you are behaving most sensibly, Captain Magellan.
I know when I'm beaten, Cartagena. I will rely upon King Charles to mete out justice when we arrive in Spain.
But Magellan had no intention of giving up so easily. He had many tricks up his sleeve. When night came, he sent a boat full of trusted men from the Trinidad to the Victoria, presumably with a message to the mutinous captains. But underneath their cloaks were hidden swords and daggers.
What is the meaning of this, mariner? Where is Magellan? Did he not come with you?
This message, Captain Mendoza, will explain all, I'm sure.
Let me see the message.
Mendoza, beware. He holds the dagger.
And this is Mendoza. This is Captain Magellan. Yield, Quetzalo, or you'll die like Mendoza. Seize him, men.
At this same moment, other armed men from the Trinidad climbed on board. And the sailors of the Victoria found when they woke up that their ship was under Magellan's control again. The other mutinous officers surrendered quickly. Magellan had won. Captain Quesada was executed for his treachery. Cartagena was abandoned on the cold, desolate coast of America. As the winter gave way to spring, Magellan decided it was time to sail south again in search of the passage. To the south they sailed. On the day marked in his calendar as the day of the 11,000 virgins, Magellan was standing on the deck of his ship, gazing anxiously shorewards. He pointed to a high white cliff which rose up from the sea.
Look there, Falero. Look there beyond that white cliff. Is that not a deep opening beyond that cape?
It is indeed, Captain. But we've been disappointed so often. It may be another river or another bay.
It may. And yet again it may not. I will send the Conception and the Victoria into the opening to find out.
Magellan waited 3 days for the two ships to return. He limped along the deck, hardly sleeping a wink. On the fourth day, the ships returned with all their flags flying on their masts and their guns booming.
Valero! Valero, old friend. They have found it. It is the passage.
We can't be too sure, Captain.
Nonsense, man. Would they be coming back firing their guns, cheering the way they do if it were not the passage? I tell you, they have found the passage.
As they sailed through the narrow channels that form the strait, Magellan almost cried with joy when he saw the open ocean before him.
I have kept my word to King Charles. I have found the passage. My ships will be the first to sail around the world. October 14. On this day, the crew of the San Antonio mutinied and in the night put back to Spain. We are left with 3 ships now. November 25. 5 weeks have gone by since we sailed through the passage. Nothing in sight yet. Not much food left. Perhaps tomorrow will bring land. December 2. Still nothing in sight. The little food we have left is wormy. And the remaining drinking water...
This smells so bad. One has to hold his nose to drink it.
Yes, but an island with few trees, no people, no food, and what is worse, no water. February 9. Our situation grows more desperate by the day. The men are eating sawdust, and the rats they catch in the hold. Every day now, some of my mariners die and are cast into the sea. Is there no end to this strange sea?
It was on the morning of March 28th, 1521, when they again sighted land. This time there were no shouts of joy. The half-dead mariners that remained alive watched and waited. The little blue bump in the distance grew nearer and nearer. It changed from blue to green. And then green hills covered with palm trees were seen. Soon some brown huts showed among the palms, and then little brown men running along the shore.
Heave to! Let go of the anchor!
Captain Magellan, I come ashore with you, yes?
Very well, Enriquez. Come along. Make ready to man a boat. We go ashore. Up, oars! Wait, mariners. Stay in the boat. Those natives are armed with spears, Falero.
They do not seem unfriendly. Perhaps
Enriquez.
Yes, master.
Step ashore and try to make them understand by sign language that we come as friends. But we want to trade for food and water.
Yes, master, I go. I go. Make good sign talk. You see.
Look at those savages jabbering away. I hope they don't take it into their heads to use us as targets for their spears.
We have to chance it, Falero. At least it will be a quicker death than the slow agony of dying by hunger and thirst. By the sacred saints, Falero. Look at Enriquez. He's talking to them.
Yes, he seems to know their language.
Enriquez! Enriquez, come here!
I come, master. I come. Master, master, these peoples... These peoples are my peoples.
Madre mía. Your people.
Yes, master. These my islands. I am home. Home!
Do you hear that, Falero? His island. Do you hear that, men? We've reached the Spice Island! Yes, Enriquez, my lad. 10 years ago, you left these islands and sailed to Europe, west, by way of Africa. And now you have come home again, sailing west, ever west, by way of America. You know what that means, Enriquez, lad?
Sure, sure, master. It means Enriquez, home.
Yes, you are home. But more than that, Enriquez, you will go down in history as the first man to have sailed completely around the globe.
Yes, Enriquez was home. But for the others, the greatest voyage of all time was not ended. When it was over, 3 years had gone by since the day of departure from Spain. And it was the Victoria alone that came back to prove to the world that the earth was round. Great was the excitement as the news spread. The map makers were busier than ever, for the Victoria had brought them new knowledge of the world, the true size of the earth, new names, Magellan Straits, Pacific Ocean, Philippine Islands. Philippine Islands, poor Magellan. He could not hear the praises, the poems, nor could he read the learned histories that were written about him. Magellan lay dead on a faraway island in those Philippines. He did not live to complete the longest journey in the world, the first circumnavigation of the globe.
You have been listening to a dramatization entitled They Put Out to Sea from the new radio series Tales from Near and Far. This program has been brought to you by This is the Story. Stories of people and of nations, of yesterday and today, and what they mean to tomorrow.